Welcome to the Climate Report on WFMP FM Louisville. This is Hart Hagen, your host, and we are on episode number 95. Today's topic is Republican Party Platform Part 2, because we talked about the Republican Party platform on the last episode and had fun in the process. We will be talking about the Republican Party platform in a few minutes, but first, here's what the Climate Report is all about. At the Climate Report, we believe that climate change is real, that climate change is a problem we can solve, and that we must solve urgently. The worst effects of climate change are not in the distant future, and the point of no return is not in the distant future. Plus, climate change is not the only grave threat to our future. There are multiple separate and distinct and independent threats to our future, including nuclear weapons, biological extinction of species, such as pollinators, and a completely and entirely unsustainable food system, not to mention threatened water supplies that are a product of all of the above. The good news is that we can create an entirely new and different world, because prior to now, the world we have lived in has been of, by, and for the powerful. While it's true that American democracy began as a great experiment in democracy, it has always been mainly controlled by the privileged and the powerful. And in recent years, privilege and power have been concentrated in more and more in fewer and fewer hands. But we can create a whole new world, one that is of, by, and for the people. We can create a new world that focuses on quality of life instead of this ridiculous obsession with profits and this insane state of affairs where we have relinquished all of our power and all of our control to those with an obsessive desire to accumulate billions and hundreds of millions, as if the best way to organize a society is by giving over all of the power and all of the control to those with an obsessive desire to accumulate more wealth than they can ever spend in 1,000 lifetimes. We have given them that power because we have bought into the false notion of trickle-down economics, which is more properly called a false community of interests. We have bought into the false notion that if we give the obscenely wealthy everything they could ever want and desire, then that's the way for us to maybe get a little bit in return. It doesn't make sense when you think about it, but almost categorically, we are not invited to think about it. The powers that be know that climate change is real, but they have reasons for not wanting the public to think it is anything urgent, because they're making a lot of money off of the old dysfunctional system, and as long as they're making money, nothing else matters. As long as Shell and Chevron and ExxonMobil and BP are making money, nothing else matters. As long as the auto manufacturers are making money, nothing else matters. As long as the war profiteers are making money, nothing else matters. But we have an opportunity to change that. We have an opportunity to create a whole new world, a better world, a world with thriving local economies and thriving local ecosystems, and a world where there is true opportunity, not the illusion of opportunity, but true opportunity for all and true equality. Not perfect equality, because you can never have perfect equality, but neither do we have to settle for a situation where there is gross inequality. But in order to get to this better world, we must understand the exact nature of the problem at hand. Not least of all, we must understand the nature and extent of corporate power. Corporations are artificial institutions. They were invented by human beings. They can be uninvented or reinvented by human beings. They are unaccountable. They are secretive. They are manipulative. And mostly what they do in the world is harmful. We must understand that the big corporations are the power behind the throne in Washington, D.C. and every state capital. Now, corporations want us to believe that corporate America is America, but nothing could be further from the truth. Corporations and corporate power are at war with the people of America and the people of the world. Corporations have wrapped themselves in the American flag as if their interests are our interests, but they are not. This, the Climate Report, is a course in intellectual self-defense so we can defend ourselves against the onslaught of propaganda and even laugh at it because the things we are asked to believe are truly ridiculous. Corporations have powerful PR and propaganda machines. Those include the mainstream media. But we can and must learn to separate the rhetoric from the reality so we can be powerful players in a functioning democracy. And that's what the Climate Report is all about. This program is part of WFMP's Public Affairs Educational Programming. The views expressed are those of the speaker and not the station. If you have any comments, questions, or feedback, please email info@theclimatereport.net. This show is available on SoundCloud and Facebook. For more info, please email info@theclimatereport.net. Today we're going to continue looking at Republican principles as derived from the Republican Party platform. Last time we looked at the first five of those principles. What we looked at before is number one, we believe our country is exceptional. Number two, we believe that our Constitution should be honored, valued, and upheld. Number three, we believe that our leaders should serve people, not special interests, as if. Number four, we believe that our families and communities should be strong and free from government intrusion. Can you say Patriot Act? Number five, we believe that our institution of traditional marriage is the foundation of society. That's how we get people to go and vote against their commercial interests, their economic interests, because we can convince them that the other party is tearing at the fabric of our traditional values. And that way, everything is going to come unraveled. In truth and in reality, intellectual self-defense means separating real threats from false threats. Both parties, the Democrats and Republicans, have us sailing down the road to oblivion because they have made us confuse real threats with false threats, and they've made us focus on the false threats. So most of the rest of the show is previously recorded, and you'll see that when we get into it, there's something exciting. I'm excited to present to you Republican principle number six. We believe that our government should be smaller, smarter, and more efficient. Ooh, here's a good one. Now, Republican principle number six. We believe that our government should be smaller, smarter, and more efficient. This is one of my favorite issues because remember how I said corporations are the power behind the throne. If you make government smaller, then government is less able to stand up for the citizen against the corporation. We've got environmental, one of these days I'm going to do an episode on Trump's environmental rollbacks. The New York Times published an article enumerating 80 environmental rollbacks that the Trump administration has either attempted or successfully gotten through. So let's look at just a few of those, and then we'll circle back around to this idea of government being small and efficient. So here are six or seven of Trump's rollbacks under the heading of air pollution and air pollution and emissions. So the government, so Trump canceled a requirement for oil and gas companies to report methane emissions. So oil and gas companies don't have to report methane emissions now. So methane is a greenhouse gas. Methane is part of natural gas. If natural gas gets burned, it's pretty clean. But if it doesn't get burned and it gets released, then it's a greenhouse gas and it's very dangerous. Methane, molecule for molecule, is like 100 times more potent as a greenhouse gas than carbon dioxide, at least in the first few years after release. And then it breaks down and it is not as dangerous after that. But methane is serious, and the Trump administration is saying, you know, oil and gas companies no longer have to report methane emissions. So this kind of thing is done under the false notion that that if we just always go to bat for business, then we'll have a strong, robust economy. It has nothing to do with a strong, robust economy. It has everything to do with shifting profits to the corporations and shifting the costs onto the public. These corporations are only concerned about short-term profit. They're not concerned about the long-term effects of their practices. Item number two, the Trump administration revised and partially repealed an Obama-era rule limiting methane emissions on public lands, including intentional venting and flaring from drilling operations. So not only do they not have to monitor methane emissions, they can intentionally vent methane into the atmosphere. Number three, the Trump administration loosened a Clinton-era rule designed to limit toxic emissions from major industrial polluters. So, you know, the society and the public pays the cost of industrial pollution. You're not going to have a robust economy by virtue of the fact that you always favor the big players that want to play dirty. So I'm sure my audience understands what I'm talking about, but the reason that that stuff goes on is so many Republicans have been indoctrinated into the idea that whatever we do for corporations is good for America. It's like I say frequently in my introduction, they have wrapped themselves in the American flag and they have made us believe that corporate America is America. But nothing could be further from the truth. So when the Republicans say we believe government should be smaller, smarter, and more efficient, the question is, efficient at what? Whenever somebody uses the word efficiency, you're supposed to say efficient at doing what? The word efficiency is meaningless unless we answer the question, efficient at doing what? Efficiency is meaningless apart from the purpose of your organization. So let's look at what does efficient government mean and what does efficient corporation mean? An efficient corporation is a corporation that is efficient at doing what it does, which is to collect money, take in as much money as it can, and spend as little as it can get away with. So an efficient corporation is measured by its profits. But corporations are also very efficient at shifting the cost onto the public. If a corporation can lobby Congress and get Congress and the presidency and the administration to relax laws and rules and regulation that makes it easier for that corporation to do business, and that corporation can thereby pollute more, and shift the cost of its business onto unwary consumers, then that corporation is being very efficient at extracting money from the government and shifting its costs onto the public. That's not the kind of efficiency we want. Be careful when you hear anybody talk about efficiency, because if efficiency means anything, it has to be measured, and money is one of the few things that can be universally measured. When it's the government's job to protect the interests of the people, that's not easily measured. When you're protecting somebody from chemicals that might give them cancer or other diseases, it's hard to measure the efficiency of your efforts. So be careful when anybody talks about business being efficient or government being efficient. I would argue that a more efficient government is a bigger government because you can have more people on the ground, government officials on the ground, monitoring the situation, seeing what goes on. The Republicans and their kindred have done an excellent job of vilifying and demonizing government, but that's at your expense and mine, and at the expense of the public, at the expense of our children, and at the expense of future generations. It's just not smart. Principle number 7, we believe that our health care decisions should be made by us and our doctors. I'm not sure who would disagree with that. But if you really believe that, then what you want to do is shift from private health insurance to a system of socialized medicine, currently being called Medicare for All. If you want healthcare decisions to be made by us and our doctors, then what you don't want is private health insurance to run the show. Currently, something on the order of 25% of health insurance corporations' costs are administrative costs. On the other hand, Medicare has something on the order of a 5% cost. So the efficiency, if we want to talk about efficiency, the efficiency of Medicare is much greater than the efficiency of these private bureaucracies that are extracting profit from a system that is supposed to be designed to care for people. Healthcare is supposed to be designed to take care of people's needs. Healthcare is not supposed to be primarily for profit, but that's exactly what we have now. So if the Republicans were serious about healthcare decisions being made by us and our doctors, then they would give us a system of Medicare for All. Yet again, Republicans and conservatives and libertarians are not acknowledging the threat to our liberties of corporate power. They only want to say government is a threat to our liberties. If they were serious about freedom and liberty, then they would go after these huge corporations, many of which are larger than entire countries in terms of the amount of revenue they take in. Certainly, many of the largest corporations are larger than entire branches of the federal government, let alone the states. They are big, huge, unaccountable institutions, and they are the ones that are running our healthcare system right now. Pharmaceutical companies are running our healthcare system. Big insurance companies are running our healthcare system because they are able to get laws passed that favor themselves. In fact, if you're a good corporate CEO, you better be spending a lot of money lobbying Congress because you are judged by your profits. You're not judged by the benefit that your company gives to the public or even to customers and consumers. You are judged by your ability to extract profit from the system. Republican principle number 8. We believe that our paychecks should not be wasted on poorly run government programs. Okay, poorly run government programs. That's the same conversation as the conversation about efficiency. Some people have been propagandized to the extent that they really believe that government programs are poorly run. And of course, there is bureaucracy in government. There is inefficiency in government. But at what cost do you get rid of the government programs? And, you know, another thing about this statement, who would disagree with, we believe our paychecks should not be wasted on poorly run government programs? I mean, nobody would disagree with that, but the question is, what poorly run government programs are you talking about? Can we talk about the ultimate poorly run government program is the Defense Department. The Defense Department is completely unaccountable. The books are such a mess that they can't even be audited. A certified public accountant would not recognize anything that goes on in the Pentagon, and there's a huge amount of it. You can't even call it waste. It's just completely off the books. So if we're not going to waste our paychecks on poorly run government programs, then let's get rid of the Pentagon. But they're not talking about that, are they? So this is just a meaningless statement because they're not going to define what a poorly run government program is. Let's compare Social Security with private pension plans. Private pension plans have a great deal more administrative costs than Social Security. Private health care has a great deal more administrative cost than Medicare. So here's a secret. If you're going to do propaganda, the best thing you can do is to not define your terms. Because if you're defining your terms, you're going to look ridiculous. Because what you're saying is ridiculous. That's how propaganda works. Most of the propaganda and the rhetoric that is used to prop up illegitimate power in the United States is ridiculous as the day is long. And everybody knows it. That's why they make every effort to fool the public, because pure reason is not going to get you anywhere. Which brings us to Republican principle number 9. We believe our military must be strong and prepared to defend our shores. Oh, this is beautiful. For one thing, they use the word defend. For another thing, they use the word defend our shores. And when was the last time the military defended our shores? The United States military has not defended anything since 1945. The United States military has only done aggression since 1945. The Iraq War had nothing to do with defending our shores. The Vietnam War had nothing to do with defending our shores. The Gulf War had nothing to do with defending our shores. The invasion of Panama had nothing to do with defending our shores. The invasion of Cuba had nothing to do with defending our shores. I'm talking about the Bay of Pigs invasion. The actions currently going on in Venezuela now have nothing to do with defending our shores. The invasion of Grenada in the Reagan administration had nothing to do with defending our shores. Propping up brutal dictators in Central America like Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador has nothing to do with defending our shores. Waging a terrorist war against Nicaragua has nothing to do with defending our shores. But people are convinced that somehow the military is defending us. I personally would love to see a military establishment that is concerned primarily with defending our shores. Now, let's look at another phrase in this. We believe that our military must be strong and prepared to defend our shores. Or, they're strong and prepared. Okay, so there's this idea of peace through strength. We're going to have peace because we are strong. You know, on its surface, the idea has a little bit of appeal, but for one thing, there are two errors in that logic. One error in that logic is that we are somehow under attack. In order to justify military spending, the corporations that are the power behind the throne must convince us that we are under attack or potentially under attack. The Cold War, which I believe the Cold War began in 1918. As soon as there was a Russian Revolution, there was a Cold War, even though it was not really admitted as such until 1945. But the Russians were never a threat to us. I take that back. They became a threat to us when they had intercontinental ballistic missiles. The only reason they had intercontinental ballistic missiles was to counter the threat that we had toward them. At all relevant points in time, the United States has always been stronger and more aggressive than the Soviet Union and later Russia. But the powers that be, the corporations that are the power behind the throne that come complete with a powerful propaganda machine, convinced us all that the communists were a threat. They so thoroughly convinced us that the communists were a threat that we, the American people, those who were alive at the time, consented to this whole communist Red Scare and the McCarthyism. And quite often the Democrats and the liberals were the most McCarthyist of the McCarthyites because they wanted to prove their anti-communist mettle. So believing that military has to be strong in order to defend us presupposes that there is a threat. So we have the phony threat of communism, and we've had the phony threat of socialism, and we have the phony threat of terrorism, and we have the phony threat of narco-traffickers. So you have to make people believe that they're being threatened. Now, let me address the issue of terrorism. Yes, there was an act of terrorism on our shores. 9/11 was an act of terrorism against us, to be sure. But you don't address that threat by waging war on entire countries. 3,000, possibly as many as 4,000 people died on 9/11/2001. We are invited to focus on that while we are also invited to forget that a great many more American soldiers have died in the fake war against terrorism. Furthermore, two wrongs don't make a right. There's no greater terrorism in the world now than drone warfare. So when there's a blue sky, if you're in the Middle East and there's a blue sky, you never know when there's going to be a drone flying overhead, and you never know when that drone is going to send a guided missile down to hit somebody's home or place of business, and it's going to kill a suspected terrorist, a terror suspect. Not to mention the collateral damage. There are going to be, 10 people on average die for every one supposed combatant. 10 civilians die, so you're going to take out the terrorists and the terrorist family, the terrorist friends, and other innocent bystanders. That is terrorism. Two wrongs don't make a right. And remember, we are dealing with suspected terrorists. Okay, so I said there was two logical errors in the idea that we need to be strong and prepared. The first logical error is that we're defending ourselves against legitimate threats, which since 1945, we have never, ever defended ourselves against legitimate threats. The other error is that if you prepare for war, you're only going to use it when it's needed. But I think it was Madeleine Albright who told Colin Powell, it was either Madeleine Albright or Jean Kirkpatrick who told Colin Powell, "What's the use of having this big army if you don't use it?" Repeat, "What's the use of having this big army if you don't use it?" The reality is that preparation for war leads to war. If you have a big army, you're ultimately going to use it. You can't be in the halls of power without using the instruments of power. This idea of peace through strength is seductive and wrong. The idea that if you want to avoid war, you have to prepare for war is seductive and wrong. We're about out of time, so I have to wrap it up. We've been talking about the Republican Party platform partly because we need to back up from the day-to-day news cycle and get a bigger picture. Notice I've said little, if anything, about the shenanigans of Trump or his administration or the Republicans in Congress. The powers that be are bigger than the Republican Party and bigger than the Democratic Party. The powers that be own both parties. The purpose of this exercise has been to look at the rhetoric and look at the reality, look at the differences between the rhetoric and the reality, so we can prepare ourselves to think clearly in these very interesting times that we live in. Thank you for joining me. Have a great day.